should you respond when something good happens? You get engaged, your first child is born. And what about when bad things happen, like losing your job or facing some other family crisis? Here's a hint. God wants the same response for both, as you'll see next on Grace to You. Past November, you no doubt gathered with your family, maybe watched a little football, probably ate a lot of food, and you gave thanks to God for the blessings that you enjoy. Well, here's a question. Have you thanked God for who He is and what He's done for you today? Not only should you give thanks at all times, you're commanded to give thanks for everything. But is that really even possible? How can you be thankful for life's trials, a loved one's funeral, a health crisis, or losing your job? How do you go about being an always thankful person, no matter what your circumstances? John MacArthur will show you on today's Grace to You. He calls this lesson, Giving Thanks in Everything. It's a part of the compelling study about growing a strong church and growing a strong you, according to God's Word. And now let's continue the lessons about the Bible-driven church. And here's John MacArthur.
1 Thessalonians 5:18. Paul writes, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Paul simply says, very directly, "In everything give thanks." No exceptions, no excuses, nothing is outside those parameters. In everything give thanks. That little phrase, en panti in the Greek, means in connection with everything that occurs. In connection with everything in life, give thanks. No matter what it might be, with obvious exceptions of personal sin, he is saying no matter what happens to you in life, be thankful. No matter what lot, no matter what circumstance, no matter what struggle, vicissitude, trial, testing, be thankful. Give thanks. No matter what the situation, we are to find reason to thank God. This is not some nebulous thanks fired off into space. It is a thanks given directly to God. By the way, we should remind ourselves that thanksgiving is the essence of Christian living and attitude. And being unthankful is the very essence of the unregenerate heart. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 identifies the ungodly with some very direct words. In verse 21, he says, "They knew God, that is through conscience and creation. God was visibly manifest to them and experientially manifest to them. But even though they knew God through creation and conscience, he says they did not honor him as God or give thanks." There is the indictment on unregenerate man. There is the indictment on the non-Christian. He refuses to do what is basic, and that is to thank God for everything. But when a person becomes a Christian, it is characteristic of that believer, that Christian, to thank God for everything. All of a sudden, there is a new heart and a new soul and a new inner life. There's something different about the inner man, and built into that newness is a heart of thanksgiving that cries out in gratitude to God. It's so hard to find someone more thankful than a brand new Christian. Thanksgiving becomes a part of the fabric of our new life. It's a fruit of the grace of the work of the Spirit within us. The overarching principle that sets it all in place is Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's really the overarching umbrella that covers every issue of life. No matter what happens, it all falls under the umbrella of Romans 8:28, and it will be by God working together for our good. It may in itself not be good, but God will take a bad thing and turn it to a good purpose for our good and our eternal glory. If you live believing that God is at work, sovereignly controlling all of the contingencies of life, blending them all together, each component to lead to a sovereignly designed goal for your good and glory, then you can handle anything in life and be thankful because you know it fits into the ultimate plan. When we see the end result of what God is doing, blending everything in our lives for ultimate good and glory, then we can in everything give thanks. But isn't it interesting how we somehow fail to be thankful? We live in a day-to-day where it's very difficult for us to rise above the creeping, encroaching, powerful culture that surrounds us, and we live in a thankless age. This has got to be the most thankless age there ever was. On the one hand, you have people who have more than they've ever had, but you also have people who know there's more yet that they don't have. And so no matter what they have, they don't have everything they could have, and so they don't have everything they want, and so it breeds a terrible kind of thanklessness. Consequently, the New Testament injunctions for us to be thankful in this culture need to be reminded over and over again to the people of God so that we don't fall into the patterns of those around us. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, writing at the beginning of the chapter in verse 3, says, "Don't let immorality or impurity or greed be named among you." And he's talking there about deeds. Then in verse 4, he says, "There shouldn't be filthiness, silly talk, coarse jesting, but rather giving of thanks." And there he's talking about speech. He's saying when you open your mouth, nothing dirty ought to come out. What ought to come out is thanksgiving. Christians ought to be known by their thanksgiving. It's just constant. When they open their mouth, they're expressing gratitude to God. Over in chapter 5, verse 18, same chapter, Ephesians, verse 18, listen to this. He says, "Don't be drunk with wine. That is dissipation. Be filled with the Spirit." And what'll happen? "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord." That's joy, rejoicing, prayer, praise will happen. Then verse 20, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." A Spirit-filled believer is a normal believer, is a thankful believer, is a joyful believer, is a praying believer. That's what he's saying. If you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to be giving thanks for everything. It's just going to gush out of you. You should be giving thanks because of your salvation. You should be giving thanks because of God's outpouring of all the necessities of your spiritual life. And you will be giving thanks if you're filled with the Spirit. Even in the times of trouble, Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with" what? "Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Even in the times of great anxiety, in the times of great fear and worry and stress, you're to be characterized as thankful. Now, this is a third component, by the way, in our text. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is a third component here in the attitude of the sheep to the great shepherd. First one was joy. Second one was prayer. Third one is thanks, verses 16, 17, and 18. Here we find the responsibility of the believer before the Lord in terms of his heart attitude. He is to have inward, incessant joy, continual, unceasing prayer, constant daily thanks. I mean, that's to be the character and the pattern of our life. And by the way, these three commands, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, these three commands penetrate the innermost recesses of the redeemed heart. They penetrate the innermost recesses of the redeemed heart. See, what do you mean by that? They're the best gauge on a person's spiritual condition. Did you get that? They are the best gauge on a person's spiritual condition. There are a lot of folks who can carry out the functions on the outside in a hypocritical way. If you want to get in touch with the reality of your spiritual condition, if you want to know whether you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then all you need to do is ask yourself, do I rejoice always? Do I constantly pray? And am I increasingly thankful? Because that's the spring from within. That's what's coming out from the inside. It will lead to a right attitude in all the duties that you do and all the responsibilities and ministries. But the innermost recesses of the redeemed heart are touched when there is constant joy, constant prayer, and constant thanksgiving. If you're not a joyful, prayerful, thankful person, you're struggling with the flesh. When you're controlled by the Spirit, those things fall into place. Then he says in verse 18, "For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. By the way, that attaches to all three of those commands, not just to the last one. God's will in Christ Jesus is that you would have constant joy, constant prayer, and constant thanks. That's His will. Now, what does it mean when it says this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus? The in Christ Jesus modifies you, you who are Christians, you who are in Christ Jesus. For you, this is God's will. There's no point in God willing it for the world. They can't be truly and constantly joyful. They cannot be in constant communion with the Lord. They don't even have a relationship, and they're certainly not going to be thankful. But for you who are in Christ Jesus, you who are in the body of Christ, you who have been joined to Him, this will of God is placed on you as a mandate. You say, do I have to drum it up myself? No, it is not only God's will it, it is God's will to work it. Philippians 2:13, it is God's pleasure to will and to do of His own good will in you, right? So He wills it and He works it by His Holy Spirit. That's why I say if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Why? That's rejoicing. And you're going to offer that to the Lord. Why? That's prayer. And you're going to be giving thanks because that's the essence of the flow out from the inward spiritual control. Those who are members of the body of Christ then are to be characterized by unceasing joy, prayer, and thanksgiving. That's common. That's normal. That's routine because we should be filled with the Spirit as a matter of the course of life. Now we look at our life and we say, oh, wait a minute. I wish that were true. I wish I just went around all the time gushing, singing songs of praise and offering prayer to the Lord and thanking Him for everything, no matter what it was, but I don't always do that. Well, that's because you're sinful and because the flesh is still there. But we need to get a little bit better grip on that. How are we going to deal with it? What is it that corrupts those inner springs so that I'm not always joyful, prayerful, and thankful? What corrupts that? I'm going to give you a list, seven of them. Seven things that'll corrupt the spring of your innermost heart and hinder joy, prayer, and thanks. Number one is doubt. Doubt. What do you mean by that? I mean doubt about God. Doubt about the character of God. You're not sure, first of all, that God's word can be trusted. When He says that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose, when He says that His heart and desire for us is for our good and not evil, when He says that He wills the benefits of His love upon us, I'm not sure we can trust Him. When He says that He is faithful and His mercies are new every morning, He may not be telling us the truth. If you doubt God's truthfulness, if you doubt God's character, you're going to have trouble being thankful because you're not going to be necessarily sure that He's really going to keep His promise to make it work for your good. Or if you doubt His sovereign power, maybe you think He means well, He just can't pull it off. You can sure trust His word. He's got good intentions. He just doesn't have the power to deal with it. It's beyond Him, too complex, too difficult. He can't work this one out. He's not going to pull this off. So you doubt His sovereign power. Or maybe you doubt His wisdom. You say, I'll tell you what, He wants to keep His word. He's got the ability to keep His word. He's just not too smart. So when He works it all out, it isn't really very good. If He would just consult me, I could clear some things up for Him. Because I've got this deal laid out, and if it works my way, it'll be perfect. And you can see by the way it's working that God's plan is certainly not up to the standard of mine. So you're questioning His wisdom. And then some might even question His love and say, well, God wouldn't ever let this happen if He really loved me. Certainly can't love me and be letting this go on. Any of those kinds of doubts that attach themselves to the character, the word, the love, the wisdom, the power, character of God are going to take away your thankfulness. Those are going to poison the springs of your redeemed heart that should be gushing forth in overflowing gratitude. Secondly, selfishness. You can add to doubt selfishness. This will really poison the springs of gratitude. This is the attitude that says, look, I don't want it the way it is. I want it the way I want it. I am not content with the way God is working out my life. I am not content with the circumstances in which I find myself presently. I am not content with the things that are going on in my little world. I do not want it this way. It's not what I desire. That's selfishness. And selfishness basically says, God, get off the throne and put me on it. I want to be in charge. I want to run my life. I want to call the shots. Self-will is more important than God's will. My plan is more important than God's plan. Selfishness. I want my life this way. I want my job this way. I want my church this way. I want my spouse this way. I want my kids this way. I want my career this way. I want. And if God doesn't come in and fit the picture perfectly, then self-will begins to run roughshod over the plan of God, and a thankless spirit is the result. Third, the third hindrance to a thankful heart would be worldliness. Worldliness, the love of the world. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, someone whose vision is filled with trivial things, someone whose vision is filled with pleasure, prominence, popularity, prestige, people, places, possessions, pursuits. I can't think of any more P's offhand. Somebody whose vision is all filled up with the trivia of the world, the stuff that is passing away. And they're so consumed with all that stuff that if that all doesn't work out the way they want it, they're not going to be thankful. I mean, they had their eye on a relationship with a person. They had their eye on a certain pleasurable achievement, accomplishment, or experience. They had their eye on a place they wanted to be, or a certain possession they wanted to have, or a certain pursuit they wanted to accomplish. They had their eye on some kind of prestige they wanted to gain, or some popularity they wanted to achieve, and it didn't happen. And because it didn't happen, their whole life is in the dumps. And you and I know people like that. There are people in our world who, because they didn't get somewhere along the line what they wanted, they took their ball spiritually and went home. And they spend the rest of their life with a thankless attitude. They never, ever see the blessing of God because they're not looking at it. You know that great old hymn, "Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart"? That's the heart of the Christian's vision. Be Thou my vision, Lord of my heart. It's You I see. It's You I want. It's You I long for. And as long as that's your vision, you're going to see the blessing of God pouring into your life. But if your vision is the material world, then you miss all of that. And so you have no cause for thanksgiving, because everything that you've attached your affection to that doesn't work out causes you to be thankless and ungrateful. Number four, critical spirit. A critical spirit. Here again is something that will steal thankfulness blind. A critical spirit. A person who is bitter, a person who is negative, who has a sour life attitude. It can be produced by a number of things. But if it is running unchecked, it will destroy a thankful heart. It will blind your vision. It will warp your understanding. It will make you useless to God and a pain in the proverbial neck to everybody around you. It'll corrode your spirituality. It'll corrode your love. This critical spirit. This over-analysis of everything. This need to criticize everything that isn't exactly the way it ought to be. Critical spirit makes a bitter, negative, thankless person. And that again rises from pride. It rises from an enlarged ego that says, I deserve better than this. I'm worthy of better than this. Or it says, I want people to think I'm better than I really am, so I want stuff around me to make me look good, and it's not making me look as good as I want to look, and so I get sour and bitter. Or I've been hurt, or I've been wounded by somebody, and I'm just going to take the pain and I'm going to run it through the course of the rest of my life. That kind of critical attitude destroys thankfulness. Number five, impatience. Impatience. Some people don't give thanks simply because they're discontent over the perception that God doesn't move on their day timer. God doesn't operate according to their schedule. God isn't working by their clock. They just can't take process. You know people like that? They want instant gratification, instant gratification. They can't deal with process. They can't say, thank you, Lord, I can see your hand at work. The process is slow. I see it. I thank you for it. I praise you for it. They say, God, it's like the child with a tantrum. I want it. I want it now. No process. My time, not yours. They want everything fixed in their world, and they want it fixed immediately. They cannot patiently wait. They cannot patiently thank God for an unfinished process. They want God to work for them to accomplish all their goals in their own time frame. impatience will just destroy thankfulness. Learn to thank God for the process. And learn, if you're looking at your partner in life or your children or whatever it is, for the little signals of process for which you can thank God that He's accomplishing His great purpose. Don't be in a hurry to see the things happen that are happening perfectly on time in His economy. What robs gratitude? Doubt, selfishness, worldliness, critical spirit, impatience. Two more. Coldness. Spiritual coldness. You could call it apathy. You could call it lethargy. I use the word coldness in thinking about the lukewarm heart of the Laodiceans, or thinking about the Ephesian church in Revelation also that had left its first love. There's a lack of zeal for Christian service. There's a lack of love for Christ. There's a lack of diligence in the study of Scripture. There's a lack of passion in worship. There's a neglect of the Bible and neglect of prayer. There's a waste of time on the trivia of life. And it leaves people empty. They just become spiritually indifferent, lethargic, apathetic. People are very aware that there is an apathy that exists among many Christian people, and it is the kind of coldness that steals thanksgiving. They're not even looking at things for which to be thankful. They've lost that intimacy with the Lord. They've lost that intense joy in the study of the Word. And consequently, their hearts have no gratitude. And lastly, is rebellion. And by this, I simply mean just downright, outright, flat-out rebellion. I'm not thankful because I'm angry with God. I'm not thankful because I don't like what He's doing in my life. I'm mad, and I'm unthankful, and I know I'm unthankful, and I'm going to stay unthankful. Just plain rebellious. There are people like that. It's amazing. Their lot in life isn't what they want, and they purposely withhold thanks because they're just flat out unthankful. In any form, any of these seven, you have gross sin. You're defying the command of God in everything to give thanks. You're defying the instruction of the New Testament that you ought to be always thankful for your salvation, for the unending blessings of God. You ought to be thankful for the unspeakable gift of Christ. You ought to be thankful for salvation, thankful for victory over sin and death. You ought to be thankful for divine guidance, for complete provision for all your needs. You ought to be thankful for the hope of glory. You ought to be thankful for the power of the Word, the power of prayer, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the holiness of God that never errs. You ought to be thankful for life and breath, thankful for heaven, thankful for everything. And if you're not thankful, that's sin. If you're not thankful because you're rebellious, because you're cold and indifferent, because you're impatient, because you're critical, because you're worldly, because you're selfish, or because you're doubting God, that's sin. In everything, give thanks. It's a result of the Spirit-filled life. As I said in Philippians 2, you can't drum it up yourself. That's why God works to will and to do of His own good pleasure in you. He's working to make you thankful, and it's happening through the power of the Spirit of God. If you're filled with the Spirit, He produces it. What happens when you're thankful? God is glorified, you're blessed, church is built up, and the lost are reached. Tremendous impact when you are thankful. What does God ask in a growing flock? What does He ask of the sheep in terms of being related to Him? He asks that they rejoice all the time, pray all the time, and give thanks all the time. That's their spiritual duty. And that's a duty that is energized by the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And as we yield to the Spirit, God produces that.
Been listening to John MacArthur, pastor, author, president of the Master's College and Seminary, and the featured teacher here on Grace to You. The title of his current study, The Bible-Driven Church. John, after a lesson on giving thanks, I know that you want to say thank you to some special friends of this ministry, folks who've shown a serious commitment to the kind of ministry that Grace to You fulfills.
Well, any time that I can say thank you to people who have made a serious commitment to this ministry, I want to run to do that. And thank you, Carl, for giving me the opportunity to do that for a couple of minutes today. Look, we know
that this ministry depends on the Lord, but the means the Lord uses is not miracle. God doesn't drop money out of the sky for us to be able to buy airtime and produce programs and all the other things we do. God doesn't create money here like the Lord created fish and bread by the Sea of Galilee one day. The Lord's means is providential through people, through you, folks who give to this ministry. And we know that you have needs of your own and your families have needs, and these are not easy times. And we also know there are many worthy ministries and organizations and churches that need your help and your support. And so we depend on God moving on the hearts of folks who have a lot of choices and a lot of obligations, but we trust the Lord to sustain this ministry as long as we're faithful to Him, and we live on whatever He provides through His people. We don't have any company. We don't have any money coming in from some other avenues. You're it. And you, by your giving to this ministry, and sometimes purchasing materials from this ministry, you sustain it. And that means our ability to produce and air this radio program worldwide, as well as our television program, whether it's on a radio station, television station, or on the internet, the free books that we give, the CDs that are free through the mail. We have 3,000-plus sermons downloaded free on our website. All of that is provided for everyone because of faithful support from listeners like you. We just want you to know how deeply grateful we are. You're doing God's work on our behalf, and we understand that, and we say thanks.
You know, Grace to You's mandate is clear, continuing spreading truth, God's truth, as far as we can, and helping folks understand the Bible better than ever before. If you're grateful for this outreach, if you have benefited personally from the broadcast, let us know. Please get in touch today. Our mailing address is Grace to You, Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. If you like, you can send an email to letters@gty.org. Maybe you or someone you know has become a Christian this past year after listening to the broadcast. If that's the case, we'd certainly love to hear that story. The address again is Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Or send that email to letters@gty.org. Now keep in mind that you can own John's current study called The Bible Driven Church. It's available as an 8-CD album or on 8 MP3 downloads. The CDs cost $35. It's a great resource for a small group study or to share with your pastor or to donate to your church's library. You can order the CDs when you call 1-800-55-GRACE or log on to gty.org. At the website, we only have the MP3s available. Again, that address, gty.org. And now for John MacArthur and the staff, we wish you a great weekend. Encourage you to return on Monday, remembering that you can see Grace to You Television Sundays on DirecTV Channel 378. You can also watch online at gty.org. And please join us all next week as we continue unleashing God's truth, one verse at a time, right here on Grace to You. Remember the Bible verse that says, "Do not quench the Holy Spirit"? What exactly does that mean? Find out Monday as John MacArthur continues the study on the Bible-driven church here on Grace to You.